First up this morning, women on the TV. Let me speak to one who's relatively new to television, has been a considerable time in journalism and is excellent at what she does. I hope I've ticked all the boxes in the introduction. Alison Morris is from the Irish News. Alison, good morning.
Good morning. It's the considerable time in journalism. You're sort of like giving away my age, like by dating my journalist career like that.
Well, this
has been a considerable time, Frank.
I have to be so careful. I'm going to be speaking for Lula Meredith on the programme as well. Every line I use, I can see myself surrounded by all my colleagues. So, and I'm going to include you in that, Alison, because you appear on this programme quite often. But you've also been a commentator on UTV, a commentator on the BBC. You've been a national commentator on Sky as well. Now, the long and the short of this is Jean Merrick, who is a political commentator as well, is wondering if women journalists who do television, either as a main job or an occasional commentary role or the paper reviews or whatever, she's asking, do you also get emails from men criticising what's wrong with your voice, your words, your clothes, your hair? And do male journalists get the same sort of reaction? What has the feedback been on you, Alison, since you've had a higher profile on screen?
Well, it is interesting. I mean, I was always a crime and security journalist, so you're used to sort of cut and thrust. I'm not, a wallflower. I wouldn't be easily offended. And some of the comments that I would get, they do make me laugh, because they're so outrageous. But I have on one occasion, somebody actually sent a letter. They went to the trouble of writing a letter, putting a stamp on it, taking it to the post box and posting it to complain about my accent while I was on UTV doing a paper review, and correcting my grammar. You said them instead of there, and the whole, and that did make me giggle because it was such a commitment to it. I don't know whether many male journalists get that, but you do. You get comments on your clothes, you get comments on your weight, I get comments on my accent, I'm very Belfast, and comments on things that are completely irrelevant or superficial to what it is that you're actually on TV talking about. Most of the time I'm talking about politics or security issues or quite serious issues. I don't do sort of frivolous, sort of journalism where people would talk to me about fashion or things like that. And you do get comments. I'm not sure whether men do. I haven't had conversations with any of my male colleagues who do the same thing to see, do they get similar sort of comments? Sometimes it can be hurtful and sometimes it can be quite vicious. Some of the comments, most of the time I think I take them, lighthearted and brush them off. And also social media, while it does attract a lot of absolute head cases who send you all sorts of strange messages, you also get, people on there who want constructive debate or want to point out a political point, or you do get instant feedback from people who are reading your stories. And so in that way, that sort of evens out, the good and the bad.
Do stay with me because Fiona Meredith is with us as well. On television occasionally, maybe not as often as Alison, you would have many colleagues, Fiona, who are indeed involved in television and who would be getting feedback. Do some of them express worries or concerns to you?
Yeah, I do more radio than television. I have done a bit of television in my time and have definitely got slagged off when doing it. But I was just thinking there what Alison's saying. Hi, Alison, by the way. It all does sound depressingly familiar. And I think that most women journalists, commentators, basically any woman who dares to put her head above the parapet and say anything, will get this from, I hope it's a small subset of men who are doing that. I think it is. It's a minority. But I think what they're annoyed about, basically, is that women dare to have an opinion and dare to voice it. That's what. And then what they'll do is they'll have a go at you based on your appearance, not on what you're saying, but based on how you look. Because that's the age-old way of attacking women and trying to sort of make them shut up, is have a go at them, attack them on their appearance.
Is there an appearance element, however, that is important to those who are employing broadcasters? And I say that if we take Rolling News and Sky Television, and Sky News is a perfect example. All the journalists on Sky are of a very high standard, male and female, an exceptionally high standard to get a national job like that. But the people who are employed all look very well, male and female, perfectly turned out, sharp suits, fabulous hairstyles, Very few of them would tend to be overweight. Everyone looks good on the screen. Is that fair, that there's an image requirement level for appearing on screen, first of all, whether male or female, Alison?
You see, that's for female when you think about it. I mean, I think about some of the most high-profile male political commentators, you know, the Andrew Neils of this world, the Piers Morgans, those sort of people. Even our own Eamon Holmes, but if you think about the fact that middle-aged men can keep their careers going right until, you know, with a degree of longevity, and it's only in recent years we've seen the change of that. We've seen the Christy Walks, and we've seen people, even Kay Birdie, who took a lot of abuse this week, we've seen outside Westminster. Those women, you know, women who are middle-aged, who are of a certain age, because before that, when you think back to the birth of Sky News and even Channel 5, you would have had middle-aged men of a certain age and very, very young women sitting alongside them. And that was the imbalance of how, you know, society viewed us. You know, once women got to a certain age, they were no longer of any use and should no longer be on the screens. But I think, thankfully, that's changing, because we have so many sort of powerful, intelligent women who do, you know, with a new woman taking over Question Time. But, you know, men's career longevity in the media was a lot longer at one stage than women, and thankfully that's changing. I mean, my appearance and the way I look and how I would present myself would be the same whether I was on TV or wasn't on TV, but you do. And I did realise that when I started doing that kind of work, that you do become conscious of yourself. But what I decided to do quite a long time ago was just never to watch myself back. And if you don't watch yourself back, you don't have to be critical of all the tiny little things about yourself that you probably never noticed before and you've no need to know about anyway.
Yes, again, I'm absolutely up on the eggshells here, and I'm about to put both feet on them here as I ask this next question. The reality, Alison, I hope you don't mind me making a personal comment. The reality is you are a glamorous woman as well. Being a fabulous journalist, you are very glamorous.
But I mean, I think that this is one of the things I'm going to say, as somebody who did crime and security, and I've written about this before, being very, very blonde, very West Belfast, I'm fond of the fake tan, that'd be good. They were all things that had been before I was a journalist. And what I think what people struggled with at the start was, first of all, a security journalist traditionally were males, they were men. So there was this woman doing a man's job. But I know when I look back and I've read books about other journalists who have done similar jobs in the past, what women had to do at that stage was overcompensate. So they had to sort of play down their femininity in order to be taken seriously. And so to be taken seriously then as a male colleague. And you can see that if you look back maybe in female journalists, when you go right back to the 70s, they had to sort of tone that down in order to be taken seriously. And I choose not to do that because I think that's nonsense. You know what I mean? I can still wear very high heels to work and still cover, you know, murders and security and very serious issues. And I've always thought that when I go to girls' schools and talk to girls' schools, they would always say that, you know, your image, who you are is yourself, and you shouldn't have to tone that down or change it. You shouldn't have to dumb it down. Because men might be intimidated if they think you're too intelligent, and you shouldn't have to dumb down anything about your appearance and the way you look, or try and make yourself more masculine in some ways to be taken seriously. I mean, years ago when I would have worked as a journalist at the start in the courts, you'd have seen female barristers would have really toned themselves down. They would have had no makeup on. They'd had very flat shoes in order to be taken seriously by their male counterparts. That has completely changed now. And the courts are full of very intelligent, very, very brilliant and very wonderful barristers who are also just happen to be very glamorous and attractive looking young women. And I don't think that there's a need for you to tone down who you are in order to be taken seriously, especially as we go into 2019.
And Fionnuala, is that easier for women to do now? Because I know it's Cathy Newman from Channel 4 News. She's saying that she virtually gets this all the time. Someone gets in touch repeatedly about her tights, and someone else wrote saying she needed voice training. But for people to be watching the news, Channel 4 News, which Cathy Newman is such a highly respected journalist, for some balloon to be out there constantly getting in touch about her tights, that's weird, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is weird, but it's not entirely unexpected. It was ever thus. That's what I'm saying, is that since the year dot, let's hope it's changing now, but since the year dot, women have been judged on their appearance in a way that men just simply aren't. And they will be attacked in that way because people think they're vulnerable on that score. And they would like to, in order, basically, the blokes, and unfortunately some women who do this as well, what they want to do is they want to try and get women, and what they think is their weak point, they want to try and undermine what they're saying. They say, I don't like you standing up there being a powerful, authoritative woman, I'm going to try and undermine you by attacking your appearance. That's what they're doing. It's a really invidious thing. But just on a lighter note, the thing that always makes me laugh if I'm doing radio, like radio discussion programs, quite often what happens is you'll get some bloke phoning in and saying, tell that wee girl she's talking rubbish or whatever. Tell that wee girl, I'm 45. I have a PhD in philosophy, you know. I'm not a wee girl. And I mean, I suppose the best thing is, I do laugh because otherwise you'd weep. You know, the ignorance can be incredible.
It's interesting what you say there about tell the wee girl and all of that, because Helen Lewis, who's the editor, one of the editors at the New Statesman, she's saying about this that sexism is such an incredible distortion in relation to the field that she's in. She says there's the persistent thing of seeing her, Helen Lewis, as a silly girl, or more flatteringly sometimes she'll be described as a promising girl. Toby Young apparently wrote a piece about how she seemed like a bright student who's obviously being influenced by a good tutor. And she says, like, I'm an honorary fellow at a university and people are writing the likes of this about me. Like, for both of you, that must be really annoying.
Yeah, I think it's so patronizing.
Yeah, sorry,
go ahead, Alison. Well, Felicia says it's true. If I was on a radio discussion and there was male commentators on with me and people phone in, the phone-ins would always say, they would say the male commentator's name, and then they would say, the homely girl from the Irish News. You know, it's as if they don't have to bother to learn my name or to say it, you know, because it's not as important. And it does make me giggle, it does make me laugh, but it is, it's ingrained misogyny, and it's just the patriarchal nature of where the society that we live in. And Northern Ireland's always slightly behind everywhere else in relation to that. But you can see if you look at the other media, but even Channel 4, as you've said, I mean, Jon Snow, who's one of the most sort of respected journalists and the anchorman of Channel 4, is a man of a certain age. I mean, he's literally a pensioner. And you can't imagine that a female journalist career would be able to go on to that length of time. You know, they sort of disappear and retire when they get to a certain age and are replaced by younger, and that's not to say much more able women as well. But, you know, it is changing, and it's changing slowly, and we are seeing that with journalists such as, I suppose, Christy Wharf and all sorts of other journalists who have managed to have a longevity and have a career and are doing things like Question Time and Newsnight and all those really serious news programmes that before would have always had male anchors in charge of them. And I think that people have changed their attitude in relation to it. But it's slow, and it's a slow process. And social media means that the people who you wouldn't usually have to deal with and you wouldn't usually have to speak to, they can instantly contact you now. So it is people who are probably... and I try not to think it reflective of all of society, but some of the messages you get in relation to, like, completely infantising someone or ignoring what they say. I mean, I had a very serious discussion one time, I think it was in relation to, you know, SIF funding on TV, and I got a message from a man asking, did I ever think of selling my shoes after I was on TV? I don't know what he wanted them for, but he did.
Do you have many shoes, Alison? Because that's the sort of question that he'd be wanting to know.
I have a lot of shoes, but it wasn't. I was more curious as to what he wanted my used shoes for.
Sometimes the greatest plant pots, you know. We could get 15 minutes out of what you could use Alison Morris's shoes for. Listen, I really appreciate your time, Alison. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming on. And Fionnuala, one final question to you. Alison referred there to older, well, more mature people like Jon Snow anchoring the news. A considerable number of the broadcasters on RTE tend to be more senior in years. Do you sense that women are more likely to say, I'm going to step down myself because I'm not overly happy with how I look on the screen? Or do you get a sense that they're being edged out where the bloke wouldn't be?
Well, I think there's a huge social pressure on women generally to look a certain way and to basically not allowed to get old. So, you know, I think particularly that's enhanced on TV and that kind of medium where, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can't speak to how individual female presenters who are aging would feel about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they feel an internal pressure, because that's what society does to them. You know, the sense that they'd be very aware of their appearance as they're aging. I hope that that is changing now. We are seeing some women of older years who are going on presenting, and I think it's far harder now for broadcasters to edge them out, and I'm glad that's changing.
Absolutely. I'm glad it's changing for males and females to try and keep my nab into it, get my pension. Alison and Fionnuala, thank you very much indeed. Thank you to both of you. Right, your opinions are very welcome. 02890 333 105. 02890 333 105. Do you take women broadcasters as seriously as we all should? Or are you prepared to admit that when you're looking at the screen, you're looking at the female as opposed to listening to the news, the commentary, or the analysis? And vice versa, do some people just look at good-looking guys on the telly and think, wow, you know, I could watch the news if he's reading it? Do let us know. 02890 333 105. Now, broadcasters on the TV, how do you judge them? Let me speak to Roy. We're particularly talking about female broadcasters because this is how the debate started, when indeed Jean Merrick raised the issue, and she's a political commentator, and felt that people were being weird, to say the least, insulting to some extent. And she's asking other women what sort of reaction they get when they're on the telly. Go ahead, Roy.
Hi, Frank. I don't think, my opinion, there is any difference between a female newsreader and a male newsreader. At the end of the day, there has been some real, really talented female journalists are talking, like Kate Eady, Angela Rippon, Julia Somerville. I grew up as a child watching news and watching lady newsreaders, male newsreaders. No difference. If you're given something rubbish to commentate on or whatever, of course, but I just think, the likes of Orla Guerin and all, absolutely fantastic female journalist.
Yeah, you see everyone in terms of being a journalist. You've never looked at the television screen and seen a young woman read the news on any channel and thought to yourself, wow, she is good looking.
Not really. The likes of Angela Rippon in there and her own Gloria Honeyford.
My goodness me, but you're going back into the mists of time. I'm talking about today.
Well, even today, no. You've Laura Koonsberg there, BBC editor for politics. I could listen to her all day. Lovely accent, Scottish accent. I'm not into these real sort of Southern English, accents. I like a strange accent, reading the news. Like the Donna Trainor and all. Southern accent, lovely Southern accent. Northern Irish accent, yes, I can listen to it all day. We see some of these posh English accents. Couldn't sit and listen to that.
All right, there's an analysis for you. He does, however, have a judgment on accents. So people are judging to some extent, and very complimentary about the Scottish accent, about Donna's Republic of Ireland accent. Let me speak to Geordie, who's on this line. Good morning, Geordie.
Good morning, Frank, and happy new year to you, sir.
Oh, thank you, Geordie. Thank you. So are you judging people by how they look or how they sound?
Frank, I think it's important, and I think everybody enjoys watching the news, watching the weather, if it's being presented with someone who they can make a connection with. And it led me to think on something, Frank. We only get to see you for 2 to 3 minutes at the end of the news. However, we can listen to you for 3 hours in the morning. Now, I don't want you to get paranoid, Frank, but does this mean that you have a face for radio?
Well, 3 hours of radio, 3 minutes of telly, I think that's about a perfect balance.
Yeah, I know, Frank. I don't want you getting paranoid now, but you're good at what you do. Keep it up. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Jordy, you're very kind. I wasn't expecting people to come on to really give a running commentary on me, but 0289 0333 105. Well, at the very start of this programme, we actually were talking, the whole issue was about how women are viewed on TV. And I probably fell into the trap there of seeing Rita as young and you as more senior. So I apologise.
Well, no, it's quite all right. I am older than Rita.
Considerably older than Rita.
I'm considerably older than most people. But as they say, Francis, and you know this as well, because you keep making the number up, age is just a number.
That's true. One thing just before you go, because on the back of what we were talking about right at the very beginning of the programme, this was women in TV news, and do they get judged by their look, their style and their voice as opposed to their journalistic ability? And we had numerous comments from a variety of women who are working in TV news and also people who are commentators on television. And they had, you know, negative examples of what the reaction is like. What sort of feedback have you got back, seriously, down the years?
Seriously down the years. I mean, I have to admit, I always said that you always see, specifically and especially on American TV, you get the crusty old grey-haired man sitting beside a blonde beauty presenting news programs, and that seemed to be very stereotypical. And I said I was always determined to be, I was going to be the grey, craggy woman sitting beside the blonde young man. That was sort of an ambition. But I mean, genuinely,
well, you've managed half of it. Where's the blonde?
Half of it.
Where's the blonde young man?
Well, Mark Mallett turns up every now and then, bless him. But from my own personal point of view, I have been very lucky, and I just seem to have managed to slip under the radar. But I get really lovely, genuinely nice comments from people, and you know, surprising comments from a wide demographic of viewers, and comments from young men, young women, who don't sort of think about somebody's age. It's more about what they do, which I think is a vast improvement on the way things have been.
Fabulously diplomatic, Pamela. We'll see you tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yes, keep the fan mail coming, Francis.
Thank you.
See you soon. Bye.
That's UTV Life tonight, obviously, on UTV. Right, 0289 0333 105. And don't write in, considering I did say to Pamela, what sort of feedback do you get back? My apologies for saying that. I hate when people say the like of that on the radio or TV.